Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to see all of you here this morning. It's a little cold out there, but thankfully it's nice and warm in here. Praise God. Well, we are going to worship God for a while, as we always do every Sunday. But before we do anything here this morning, we do need to pray, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee this morning, thanking thee that thou hast brought us here once again. We are so grateful for this opportunity to gather in thy name, to worship thee, to sing thy praises, and to study thy word. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do here this morning would be done according to thy perfect plan, according to thy perfect will. I pray that thy spirit would be here today. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto thee and as we worship thee. Inspire us, O God. Help us, O God, to truly give thee our hearts, O God. And I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst preside over this entire service here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to open with a chorus from the chorus book that we often sing on Wednesday nights. I thought, why not sing it tonight, or this morning, rather. It's number 143, We Have Come Into This House, number 143 in the chorus book.
We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him and Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. Concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. So lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. So lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered stand complete in him and worship him. He is all my righteousness. Stand complete in him and worship him.
26 in the chorus book and sing In His Presence, number 26.
In His presence there's fullness of joy. At His right hand pleasures forevermore. Oh, fullness of joy. In His presence there's fullness of joy. At His right hand pleasures forevermore. Oh, fullness of joy. In His presence there's fullness of joy. At His right hand pleasures
to go to our hymnals now, our Melodies of Praise hymnal. And you know, there is great joy in serving the Lord. There's great joy in being in His presence. Why don't we go to number 71 in our hymnal and sing Joy Unspeakable, number 71.
found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, He does give us great joy, and He does put a song in our hearts, doesn't He? Why don't we go to number 85 and sing "He Keeps Me Singing," number 85. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Every longing keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, and discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall make my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Praise the Lord. God, praise the Lord. Oh yes, it is good to worship and praise the Lord, and I'm just picking these songs as they come to me. So let's go down to number 2 and sing Praise Him, Praise Him, number 2.
Blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guide His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it is good to praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Chuck, would you help us, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for thy goodness, for thy mercy. We thank thee, O God, for thy sustaining power, which has kept us for so many years. We glorify thy name, knowing full well that it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we are here today. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead us, continue to direct us, guide us in all things. Give us wisdom, O God, on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy mighty name. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word this morning. We're going to go to number 252 and sing Victory, 252. Hallelujah, what a thought, Jesus full salvation brought. Victory, victory, let the powers of sin assail, heaven's grace can never fail. Victory, 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 yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free, Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all in all to me. I am trusting in the Lord. I am standing on his word. Victory, victory. I have peace and joy within, since my life is free from sin. Victory, 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 yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free, Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah, he is all in all to me. Shout your freedom everywhere, his eternal peace declare. Victory, victory, let us sing it here below.
of every foe. Victory, 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 yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all in all to me. We will sing it on the shore when this fleeting life is o'er. Victory, victory. Sing it here, ye ransomed throngs, stun the everlasting song. Victory, 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 yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all in all to me. Victory, yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all in all to me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
The Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, we are going to get started in the Word this morning, and I am so thankful that we can do this. It is such a privilege, and I am so thankful for this book that God has given us. You know, so much of what we know about our Savior, we learned from this book, and it is such a precious thing. It is a gift. I can't imagine life without it. And it would be a drastically different situation if we didn't have this book. So praise God. I'm so thankful for this gift He has given us. Praise the Lord. And we are going to be opening this book in just a moment. I'm calling this message this morning, The Battle for Your Mind. The battle for your mind. And before we read even one verse, we will be starting in Mark chapter 12 to begin with. But before we read even one verse, I want to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, thanking Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here and given us this opportunity to look upon Thy blessed Scriptures. We thank Thee, O God, for this holy book. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy reassurances, Thy promises. And I pray, O God, that Thy Word would come alive in our hearts here this morning as we look upon Thy holy Scriptures. I pray that Thou would move upon us, O God. Inspire us, draw us unto Thyself, I pray, Lord. I pray that we would come out of this building closer to Thee than when we came in. And I pray, Lord, that these words we read here today would change us forever. I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Let there be no hindrances here this morning, but let Thy Spirit have free course. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The battle for your mind. And you know, people may not realize this. We may not be conscious of this all the time, but there is a battle going on for our minds, for my mind, for your mind, everybody out there. There is a battle for the minds of the people. And, you know, to understand what that means, we should probably know what our minds are. And people might think, well, that's the brain, right? Well, not necessarily. That's part of it. But actually, if you look up mind, the word mind in the dictionary, it's defined as in a human or other conscious being, the element, part, substance, or process that reasons, thinks, feels, wills, perceives, judges. And the second definition for it in the dictionary is the totality of conscious and unconscious mental processes and activities. So as you can imagine, the mind is a pretty important thing. It's where our thoughts come from, where they originate, where our feelings come from, our will, our perception, our judgment. It happens up here in the mind. And there is a battle for this mind, but you know, in Mark chapter 12, we're going to read something. There was a day that came when Jesus was here on earth when the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes came to the Lord, and they wanted to trip him up. They were asking him all sorts of questions, trying to get him stuck. Of course, you can't get God stuck, can you? He's never stuck. He's never baffled. You can't ask him any questions that he can't answer. So they tried to ask him a bunch of questions to try to get him to stumble. Well, that didn't work. But then, we're going to be starting in verse 28. And I believe here that God was working in this man's heart. And a scribe came to Jesus one day after he had watched all those others ask him questions. And he heard Jesus answer those questions. This scribe came to Jesus. And he had a very, very, very important question for the Lord, didn't he? Mark chapter 12, verse 28 tells us, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?'" In other words, of all the commandments that God has ever given, which one is the greatest? Which one is the most important? Verse 29, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" That's the most important thing that we need to know, that God is one. There is one God and one God only, not a bunch of gods. There's only one. And verse 30 tells us, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Now notice here, it doesn't just say that we love the Lord with all of our heart, our innermost being, our very core. And it doesn't just say that we need to love the Lord with all our soul. We need to do that, obviously. But there's more to it. It also says, "And with all thy mind." We need to give our minds over to the Lord. We need to do that because there is a battle for our minds. It's a battle that rages every single day. You know, the devil, he'll try to get in your head. You wonder about people sometimes, how they're so manipulative. People can manipulate you, get you to do something, and make you think it's your idea. Well, that's because they learned from their father, the devil. The devil is the biggest manipulator of all. And people will try to manipulate you, try to get in your head, try to do something to your mind. Mind games, they call it sometimes. There are a lot of people like that. You know, politicians, they're known for that. They don't tell the truth, do they, most of the time? They're a bunch of liars for the most part. And they do play mind games. And, you know, even televangelists will do that too. They'll play mind games. They'll try to manipulate people. They'll get up and say, "Oh, we need you to give all this money. If you don't give all this money, we're going to fold up. We're going to fall apart." And, you know, they'll try to play on people's emotions and get them to give more and more. That's manipulative, isn't it? Because there's a battle for your mind. People and spirits and the devil will try to get into your head. And a lot of times, the devil will try to get into your head. He'll use people sometimes to come along and disrupt your life, to cause all kinds of problems. So he'll use people, and sometimes he'll try to get in there himself. And he'll try to put thoughts in your head. And you wonder, where in the world did that thought come from? I know that didn't come from me. I would never think such a thing. I know that didn't come from God. But the devil will come along, and he'll try to impersonate your own mind, your own thoughts. But you know, we need to be given over to the Lord, so he can't do that. We must give him our minds, because there is a battle for our minds. And right here in this great commandment, the first commandment, Jesus tells us that very thing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, this was very perceptive of this man. That was not the typical line of thought, especially among the religious elite of that day. They put great emphasis on those sacrifices, didn't they? They put great emphasis on all the rituals of their law. And they got so caught up in the rituals of their law that they didn't even remember why they were doing those things in the first place. And so it got to a point where it didn't even matter anymore. They would do those things, they would go through the motions, but God did not regard it. But these things we're told here, these are the most important things we need to know. We need to give them our heart. We need to give them our mind. We need to give them our soul. And this man understood that. And note here Jesus' reaction. Verse 34, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. He was getting very close to the kingdom of God. And who knows, maybe he got in. We don't know for certain what happened to this man. But I do believe God was working in his heart. See, when Jesus spoke and he heard, that had an impact on his life. And when Jesus speaks, it should have an impact on our lives. But there is a battle for our minds, an assault on our minds, and it happens every day. This world and the things we must endure, it is a battle sometimes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 for just a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh yes, we are fighting a battle. We are fighting a war, but it's not a carnal war. It's not a world in the physical realm. In fact, we don't have to worry about that. I know there are some people out there who say, oh, we got to stockpile all kinds of weapons and then go and try to overthrow the government, but you know what? We're not called to do that. We are not called to do that. That is completely 100% unscriptural. Now, people do have a Second Amendment right to bear arms if they so desire. That's not a problem. But if you feel like you're going to store up all these weapons and ammunition and go and overthrow the government, well, that's not what Christians are supposed to do. That's not what we're called to do. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to see that very thing. And Paul makes this very clear. This isn't one of those verses you can twist around to make it say something else, because it's so obvious what he meant, what he's saying. There's no way to confuse it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 tells us, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? We do not war after the flesh. It's not a fleshly battle that we fight. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not a carnal fight. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual war. And you know what? A lot of that is going to happen in your mind. In fact, in verse 5 it tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations start? In your mind. And there are some imaginations that we might get sometimes that we need to cast down, because there is an assault on our minds. The devil will try to get in there. He'll try to manipulate you. And when he does that, cast down those imaginations in the name of the Lord. And you can bring every thought into obedience, into the obedience of Christ. Verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, it's a constant thing, isn't it, when you're out in the world. That's why I love being here in this church with God's people, because we can draw strength from that. And you know, when we're together and in the Spirit of God, the things of this world just seem to fade away, don't they? We don't have to worry about all the nastiness out there when we're here in the presence of God. There is great presence in the Lord, and I think we all need this. These times of refreshing, when He pours out His Spirit. Oh, we need His Spirit so much. We need Him to seal our minds. We need Him to take control of our minds, because the devil will try to get in there. And if he tries to get in there, cast him down. Cast down all those imaginations that he might throw at you. All those wicked thoughts that he might throw at you, cast them down. You know, even Jesus had to go through that when he was tempted in the wilderness, didn't he? And we, you know, it only stands to reason that if the devil would try to tempt the Lord, he's going to do the same to us. He's going to try. But you know what? If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We can resist the devil. And we need to make sure we don't let him play mind games with us. We need to make sure we don't let him get into our minds. Because he'll try. And he'll try to do that in a variety of ways. And there are a lot of people out there right now who suffer from that very problem. The devil has gotten into their heads. Let's go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And, you know, we know the Lord, don't we? We are well acquainted with Him, and hopefully we're all getting to know Him better and better every day. And He has given us the gospel, the good news, the plan of salvation. He has written His law in our hearts. But if we hide that, it's hid to those that are lost. It's hid to the people who need to hear it the most, the people who need to experience it the most, to see God's light shining through you. So we can't hide the gospel. And the devil will come at you with all kinds of distractions to try to steal your mind so that you're not sharing that gospel. So that your gospel is hidden. And your mind is focused, fixated on other things. And when that happens, it's a very sad thing, because then our gospel, that good news, is hid to those that are lost. And they need to hear it, because it tells us in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now when it says the god of this world, it's referring to the devil. Notice there that the word God there is not capitalized. It's not referring to our God. It's not referring to the one true God, a false God, a entity that many do worship as God. Many who worship him without even know they're worshiping him. They don't even know they're doing it. But this god of the world, and it's referring to the devil there, and he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. You know why there are so many people who don't believe on the Lord? Because their minds have been blinded. Their minds have been blinded, and it's the devil who has done this thing. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that beautiful? That light shines in our hearts. Amen. That light of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. And when that light shines in our hearts, we reflect that light and other people see it. And they may not understand exactly what it is that's so different about you sometimes, but they know there's something different about you because you are filled with the Spirit of God and His light is shining through you. But there are many people out there, many people who have blinded minds. Blinded minds. They can't perceive the truth. And they're carnally minded. And being carnally minded is a very sad thing. You know, I haven't really been paying attention to popular music too much. But yesterday I thought, I'm just going to check and see what was popular last year, because, you know, I wasn't familiar. So I looked up the songs that were top tens last year. Songs that were top tens. And I gotta say, there's trouble out there. There is trouble. I cannot believe how bad these songs are. They're completely ridiculous. And these are the songs that dominated the charts. They were number ones. There's one song, I'm not going to read every lyric here because it's quite lengthy, but it's by Rihanna. I don't know if anyone's familiar with her, and if you're not, you're better off. But she wrote a song called Work. And this song starts out, work, 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 work. You see me, I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. There's something about that work, 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 work. When you gun, learn, 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 learn. Me not care if me tired, 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 tired. Join me, I deserved it. No time to have you lurking. If I got right, then you might like it. You know I dealt with you the nicest. Nobody touched me in the righteous. Nobody texted me in a crisis. I believe all of your dreams are duration. You took my heart and my keys and my patience. You took my heart off my sleeve, a decoration. You mistaken my love I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had, something that you've never seen, something that you've never been, but I wake up and everything's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work. You see me, I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. And it goes on pretty much like that for a while. That was the number one song in this country for 9 weeks. 9 weeks. And I think she has a blinded mind. Because that's an incoherent mess. It doesn't even make any sense. And yet that's what people want to listen to. That's what speaks to people nowadays. That's what moves them. They want to listen to it over and over and over again. over and over again. Top of the charts. Hear it on the radio. They're downloading it on the internet. Can't get enough of that song. And it's complete nonsense. I wonder what Fanny Crosby would think of that song. But you know, there's another song. And this song was actually number one in the United States for longer than any other. And it's called Closer by the Chainsmokers. And it starts out, it says, "Hey, I was doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much, and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart, moved to the city in a broke-down car, and 4 years, no calls. Now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar, and I can't stop. No, I can't stop. So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder, pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older." This one was number one in the United States for 12 weeks. So I looked up these songs. I went down the list and I couldn't believe it. Every single one of them was absolutely awful. Mostly incoherent messes, but you know, obviously there's a spirit driving these songs, and people love them. They can't get enough of them. And they may not even know the lyrics sometimes. But it's a catchy tune. It makes me want to dance, you know. But we're in a lot of trouble, I think, in this country, because that's the type of music that people are listening to nowadays. And they can't get enough of it. Those were number one songs. And you might ask, now why? Why would people listen to music like that anyway? Why would they be drawn to something like that? Well, I thought it was kind of interesting. I found this report from 2014 from Newsweek, and it says, nearly 1 in 5 Americans suffers from mental illness each year. You stop and think about it. That's a lot of mental illness. 1 in 5. It says every year about 42.5 million American adults, or 18.2% of the total adult population in the United States, suffers from some mental illness. Enduring conditions such as depression, bipolar disorder, or schizophrenia, statistics released Friday reveal. The data compiled by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration also indicate that approximately 9.3 million adults, or about 4% of these Americans aged 18 and up, experience serious mental illness. That is, their condition impedes day-to-day activities such as going to work. And there is a lot of mental illness out there, and where a lot of that mental illness comes from is the devil. Because he's blinded the minds of the people. Like I said, there's a battle for your minds. And when you hear songs like these on the radio, that's an assault. Not only on your intelligence, but on your mind. And there's a lot of that going on. And, they'll have stupid stuff on the TV. They'll have stupid stuff at the movie theaters. And it's just an assault on our minds. And people, they're all messed up. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They have mental illnesses, depression, paranoia, and all kinds of other problems too. That's because the devil gets into their heads, doesn't he? He messes with their minds. And people, you know, they say, you know, it's simplistic to say that evil spirits cause mental illness, and most people won't believe that. But, you know, if you read in the Bible, I'm not saying that in every case it's an evil spirit causing it, but in some cases it definitely is. And if you read in the Bible the story of the man from the Gadarenes, he was crazy, wasn't he? And he had supernatural strength. He could break chains like there were nothing. And he would sit in the graveyards and cut himself and howl all night long. Why? Because the devil had blinded his mind. But you know what? Jesus came along and he healed his mind. That's really what Jesus did. He cast out those devils, that legion of evil spirits, and he healed his mind. What surprised the people so much when they saw that man? He was in his right mind. And that terrified them. Isn't that amazing? But there is a battle for our minds. And you know, a lot of this music, it's just, it is an assault on your mind when you hear those songs. And people don't even know what they're listening to, do they? But it's complete nonsense. You stop and look at the lyrics and you think to yourself, how in the world could this ever make it to the radio? How in the world would anybody ever buy this? And yet these are number one songs. The songs that people like the most. That they can't get enough of. They listen. You know, for a song to be number one, that means people are listening to it over and over and over and over. That's how a song gets to be number one. It means they're intentionally subjecting themselves to that nonsense. And that will do something to your mind, I guarantee it. But we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the devil has blinded the minds of the people. Why? So they can't discern spiritual things. So they can't discern the Spirit of God. Because they're too fixated on carnal things. But verse 5 tells us, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, that's the solution. When the devil blinds the minds of the people, there's only one remedy for that, and that is when Jesus shines in our hearts. Jesus shines in our hearts. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You know, we do have a battle to fight, and a lot of that is a mental battle. A lot of it will happen right there in your mind. But we have a God who is able to fill us with His Spirit, a God who is able to renew our minds day by day. He's able to renew our spirits and renew our minds. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And those are the most important things, the eternal things, the things you can't see with your physical eyes, the things you can't hear with your physical ears, but the things that are spiritually discerned. And they are spiritually discerned when you give God your mind. Oh yes, the devil wants your mind. He wants all of our minds. That's why he'll try to assault our minds and fill our minds with garbage, but we can't let him do that. We need the Lord to take our minds complete control, because it is the spiritual things that matter, the spiritual things that are eternal. all of this nonsense in this world, it's only temporary anyway. It's not going to last. And thank God for that. Praise the Lord. Let's go now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You see, it's the spiritual things that are important. We need to be spiritually minded. We need to make sure that we have yielded our hearts and our minds to our Lord. Romans chapter 8. And this is such an important chapter. Romans chapter 8. This chapter is going to tell us all about life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." The Spirit of life, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that Spirit of life that He gives us more abundantly. That makes us free from sin and free from death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There are a lot of carnally minded people. People with blinded minds. People who listen to songs like these because they have blinded minds. And they're carnally minded. But we must give our minds to the Lord. Be spiritually minded. That's where we find life. That's where we find peace. Verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." You see, that's why it's so important that we need the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so important that we need God's Spirit dwelling inside us. Because that Spirit renews us. It renews our minds. Verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Oh yes, He quickens our spirits. He takes our minds. He changes us. He molds us. He shapes us. He makes us what we ought to be. He's the only one who can. Amen. And we need His Spirit. We desperately need His Spirit. Because there is a war, a battle for our minds. Verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And of course we know that that applies to women too. The Bible's written in the masculine gender. But we, when we are filled with that Spirit of God, and He comes in and changes us and shapes us, and takes control of our minds, well then we become the children of God. Praise the Lord. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba, that's a term of endearment. It's like saying Daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, when we overcome the flesh, when we become spiritually minded, when our minds are renewed by the Spirit of God, then we become the children of God, walking in obedience, obeying the Lord. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, we do go through a lot in this life, but it's going to be worth it all in the end. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It is our earnest expectation. We are waiting for our inheritance, and we know we will have it because it is a promise, and God keeps his promises. If we remain in the faith, if we are faithful to him, obedient to him, if our minds are renewed in him, and if he has control in our lives. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh yes, he is our great deliverer. He's the one who can set us free. Nobody else can. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And you know that it does seem like this planet travails, doesn't it? This whole creation. You know, we see earthquakes and volcanoes and things of that nature happening all the time. We see shakings and quakings, travail, groaning. This planet is literally groaning. Why? Because of sin. Because there's so much sin, and that causes even the earth itself to respond to that. And we see so many things happening all the time. And of course, we know that the Bible warns us in the last days, as we get closer to the return of our Savior, there's going to be more and more earthquakes. Earthquakes in diverse places. The whole creation groaning and travailing. In pain. You know, it's not hard to see why the whole earth is in pain when you got songs like that on the radio. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for something. Something better than anything we have in this world. We are waiting for our adoption to come through, to be complete. You know, children, little children sometimes, orphans, they'll perhaps be living in an orphanage for a while and they're waiting to be adopted. And they might hear one day that some folks are going to adopt them and take them home. And they have this earnest expectation. They're waiting for that adoption. Well, we too are waiting for our Savior to come and take us home and redeem our bodies. That's what we're waiting for. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Once we have this redemption of our bodies, spiritual bodies, we don't have to hope anymore because our hopes are complete. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you know, sometimes that happens. You might get down on your knees and you might start praying and you're not even sure what to pray for. But the Spirit helps us. Spirit will show us what to pray for, and sometimes we might even pray in an unknown tongue. That's biblical too. It happens. And that Spirit comes into our lives, comes into our hearts, comes into our minds. And it's that Spirit of God that helps our infirmities, that shows us what to pray for. And that Spirit itself that maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, to have the mind of the Spirit is a far different thing than to be carnally minded. We need to be spiritually minded people. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I am so thankful that he called us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And he justifies us. He's the only one who can.
Amen.
We can't justify ourselves. People try to do that all the time, don't they? Oh, I'm not so bad. I'm not so bad. I'm a pretty nice guy. They try to justify themselves. But we can't do that. We need Jesus to justify us. And he will. He will. If we but seek him. If we but obey him. If we but yield him our hearts and our minds. Verse 31. But what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, people get so afraid sometimes. They get so afraid. But you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear. In fact, in 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He gives us a sound mind. And when we yield that mind to the Lord, we soon realize, hey, we don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't have to have that spirit of fear working in us, but rather we have that spirit of power, of love, of a sound mind. And when we realize that, we realize we don't have to be afraid of anything. If God be for us, who can be against us? And people might look at the monstrosity of government out there, all of these wicked systems and the plot, the conspirators to build up a one world government system, and they might get afraid and think, what are we going to do? God is greater than all of that.
Amen.
Remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You don't pull down those strongholds of the devil with weapons. Carnal weapons, you pull them down with your mind. And when God is in our minds, when God is with us, if God be with us, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
It's not an even match, folks. I think people might look at them with the carnal mind and think, oh, look, they got all those weapons, they got all this technology. They can spy on you. They can follow you around. They can control your car. They can watch you with drones. So what? That doesn't frighten me. And if we need to be hidden, if we need to be protected, we serve a God who can do that, despite everything that they have. If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, they try to get into your mind too, don't they? Big brother. They want to control your mind. They want to make you afraid.
Yes, yes.
But you don't have to be afraid, because we have given our minds to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? We do go through things, don't we? Trials, tribulations, some people more so than others. But that doesn't separate us from the love of Christ, does it? In fact, in many cases, it makes that love we have, that love of God, even stronger. We become stronger in the Lord, perhaps because we're not so fixated on carnal things, but on spiritual things, reaching out to God with our whole hearts and with our minds. Sometimes we're better off if we don't have much. You know, sometimes the poor are better off because there's not as many distractions. You don't have to worry about people or the government or thieves stealing all your money if you don't have any. Don't have to worry about that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are conquerors. We can conquer the world. We can conquer the devil. We can conquer the flesh. And you know where that all starts? In your mind. With your mind. When you let God come in there and change your mind and renew your mind. There's great power in that. And we are conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those trials, those struggles, those tribulations, they're not going to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. In fact, the only thing that can separate you from the love of God is yourself. People sometimes might think, oh, I feel so far away from God. Well, he's not the one who moved. And thankfully, we can draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. Let's go now to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 in closing. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be going down to verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. There are people out there walking around in the vanity of their mind. What does that mean? Vanity of their mind. What does vanity mean? It means lack of real value, hollowness, worthlessness. And you see, you can perceive that, people walking around with that hollowness in their minds. You can actually even perceive it in songs that you hear on the radio, can't you? These people who write these songs, it's quite obvious, it's quite apparent that they're lost. In fact, they pretty much come out and tell you that very thing in the lyrics of their songs. They are walking around with blinded minds and the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Not only do people have blinded minds, but they have blindest hearts. Blinded hearts so they cannot perceive the things of God. They cannot understand the things of God. Their understanding is darkened. And there's only one who can break through all that. And that is the Lord Jesus. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness or lustfulness. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. As the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. The old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You know, when God comes into our lives, he changes us. And we're not the same people we used to be. We don't talk the way we used to. There's a notable difference. We put off that old conversation. You know, there are a lot of people out there who claim to be Christians, and then you listen to them talk, and it's just think, something's not right here, you know. They claim to be believers, they claim to be Christians, and yet there they are, spouting obscenities, talking about all kinds of carnal things, lustful things, sinful things. We don't do that. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to have the former conversation of the old man. Or the way we were before Jesus came into our hearts and into our minds. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, he can renew our minds. He can renew our minds. There is an assault on our minds every day. They go into a store and they might have music playing on the radio, and who knows, it might be some of these songs that we mentioned earlier, and you know, that'll do things to people's minds. And if you ever watch TV, you know, and you ever stop to think, they got all these commercials on the TV, and one after another, they're trying to do a work in your mind and get you to go out and spend your money on whatever it is they're advertising. And I remember thinking to myself one day, as these commercials were playing, I thought to myself, wow, this is exhausting. One after another, them trying to extract money and manipulate your mind. And there's a lot of that going on. It happens every day. They try to get in your head. They try to get in your mind. But we serve a God who can renew us, who can renew our minds. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And after he renews our minds, there's a difference, isn't there? We don't act the way we used to act. We don't behave the way we used to behave. But rather, it tells us in verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So we don't give the devil place in our lives. Don't let him in the door. He's going to try to get in there. He's going to try to mess with your head. He's going to try to mess with your mind. But don't give place to the devil. He'll try to get in there any way he can, you know. He'll try to make you distraught, perhaps. He'll try to make you fearful. He'll try to make you afraid. He'll try to give you bad thoughts sometimes. We can cast all of that down in the name of the Lord. Neither give place to the devil. We don't give place. Don't give him an inch. Don't let him have a foothold in your life. Because he'll try. As I mentioned before, he even went after Jesus. Well, what did Jesus tell him? Get thee behind me, Satan. And we should all be ready to do that same thing. Remember, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him. Don't capitulate. Don't give in. Don't let him get a hold in your lives. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You see, our behavior changes. We're no longer liars. We speak the truth to our neighbors. We no longer steal. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You see, hard work is good too. God blesses hard work. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And you know, I think when people sit down and listen to songs like those, I think that grieves this Holy Spirit of God. Something we're not supposed to do. We need to be careful what we listen to, don't we? We need to be careful what we watch. We need to be careful what we do. Because everything we experience, every word we hear, every sight we see is something that our minds have to process. Something that our minds have to process. And the more garbage you have in your mind, the less the Spirit of God is working in your life. So we need God first and foremost. God at the very forefront of our minds. And we need to make sure we're not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And people, they might get to know you and they might wonder, what is it about you? Why is it you're so different? Why is it there's no bitterness or wrath or anger or evil speaking? Why is that? Why is it you're so kind, tender-hearted, forgiving? Why? Because we have given our minds to the Lord. We've given our hearts to the Lord, our souls to the Lord. And believe me, there is a battle for our minds, for all of our minds. But don't give place to the devil. Let God renew your mind each and every day. That's why it's so important that we have an active prayer life. Because when we pray, it is a heart-to-heart talk with God. A personal connection to our Savior. And that's so important, because when we start praying and we get in the Spirit, that's when He renews our minds. Amen. And we all need that so much, don't we?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, thanking Thee for Thy promises. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst help us to walk with Thee, to not chase after the things of this flesh, but rather to have the mind of Thy Spirit. I pray, O God, that Thou would renew all of our minds. Fill us, O God, with the Holy Ghost. Help us to walk after Thee, to follow Thee, to obey Thee. Help us, O God, to yield our souls, our minds, our will, our emotions. Help us, O God, to yield all of it to You. I pray, O God, that Thou would take charge in our lives and lead us in the paths of righteousness for Thy name's sake. Show us, O God, what we must do each and every day. Help us, O God, to not give place to the devil, but give us great spiritual strength, we pray. Help us, O Lord, for we seek Thy guidance and Thy direction. Fill each and every one of us with the Holy Ghost, I pray. Let Thy Spirit be upon each and every one of us, and go with us as we leave here this morning, as we leave here this day. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, Sometimes the devil will try to get into your mind, he'll try to get into your head, and I tell you what, a good way to send him on his way is by singing songs. Songs that he hates, songs he doesn't want to hear, and he might try to get in your mind and fill you with doubt or fear. But you know what? I'm satisfied with Jesus this morning. Let's go to number 171 in the chorus book and sing, "I'm satisfied with Jesus." Number 171. Satisfied with Jesus, I'm satisfied with Jesus, I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus, I'm satisfied with Jesus, I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Praise the Lord, and you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.